welcome to Three in the Box. Okay, maybe we should not ever let Jerome touch the talkback mic again.
Oh, that board will be gone after tonight.
All right, lovely. This is the Meat Beast. We're sitting here. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the Minnesota state of hockey. And I've got Aaron sitting next to me.
What up?
And Kenny sitting across from me.
Yo.
And immediately behind me, I've got our producer, Jerome.
Yeah.
Go
talk
ahead.
Back.
That is
the talk
positively
back
horrible.
Get recorded.
Oh,
it
my
actually
God.
Does.
It does get recorded.
That board is so screwed up.
Oh,
it's recording
bad.
The talk back.
So, yeah.
That should not be happening.
No.
In Three in the Box news, we have a brand new board we'll be using next week that hopefully has a better talkback mic, or at the very least has a spare channel. We know it does have a spare channel to give Jerome his own
channels.
Microphone. That will be wonderful. You'll actually be able to hear him pipe in and be silly and not have him attempt to use the talkback mic like he just did. Oh, my God. That was horrible.
Ear rape.
Well, it's probably worse in our headphones. It's probably worse in our headphones than it is for the listener at home. Anyways.
Compression.
We're all back.
Yeah.
And it's been a week.
It has been. It's been a pretty packed week, too.
One thing we didn't talk about before the show, do we have our poll results? Does anybody have that up?
I do.
From last week? Yeah. Lovely. Sweet. How about we start there and then go into wild? Let's see how we did last week with our
poll. Let's not, because we need to talk about the games so we can flesh out why we're picking what we're picking come end of game.
But this was all stuff from end of game.
Haven't recapped the games yet.
You just want the results from last week.
The poll from last week.
Just the results.
That we did.
Not what we're going to do next.
No, but our player of the week is what I was thinking.
Okay.
We do the player of the week results right away. Just a thought.
Well, since you bring it up, I might as well do it.
I thought you said you had it right. Never mind. We were communicating about obviously very different things.
No, I got it up.
Excellent.
and the winner with a total of one vote would be my single solitary vote.
How did I not see the poll even when it finally got posted?
Yeah, what the hell? We're not even voting for ourselves?
Yeah, I didn't see the poll. We got to deal with the fact that Facebook's algorithms are letting us see our own posts.
Well, you're an admin, so you should be able to vote.
I should be able to.
Every time I try, it comes up as voting for Three in the Box.
Well, that vote didn't even register, so I do not believe that. I do not believe for a second that you voted at all.
Well, I did not.
So, for you listeners at home, you obviously missed our poll, who the Minnesota Player of the Week was last week, because we only have one vote, and Aaron submitted it was him. The rest of us didn't even vote. It's our fault as well that Aaron won. Aaron,
I would have much preferred a four-way one-vote tie.
All right,
but
so, anyways,
who's the player you picked?
It would be Ryan Suter with 3 assists in 3 games.
Wow.
And what were the other options out there?
That'd be Eric Halla, 2 goals in Friday's win over St. Cloud.
Oh, yeah. Yep, a week and a half ago.
And then Clutterbuck, that was Josh's pick, Wild, for being one tough SOB.
All right.
And Charlie Coyle, that was Jai's pick, first goal of NHL career. And
speaking of Coyle.
He also scored some this week.
He did.
All right, so we go right into the wild.
Yeah. But I think, speaking of Clutterbuck, though, Clutterbuck's back.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's not necessarily back. He's cleared to skate and practice with the team today.
Right.
Like, today they announced he is cleared to skate and practice with the team. So if you're looking for that mad mustachioed debonair gentleman to be out there roughing it up a bit, you'll see him again soon.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Back to the game recaps from the Wild.
Should we start off just go in order?
Go in order. Let's see. First one was Phoenix, wasn't it?
It was.
Phoenix, it was a big win for the Wild. I know that this was one game that I predicted that they would lose. I predicted they were going to lose all their road games and win their one home game. Yep. They actually won this one. Score was 4-3. I don't think it was really watching the game. It wasn't as close as the final score was. There was a freak goal.
Well, freaks off goal. Go ahead on it.
Basically, there's plastic chunks at the top of the boards, and the puck hit off the top of the glass and went towards Backstrom. That was one of the 3 goals that Phoenix scored. And Mike Smith was a sieve. He was pulled.
Wah,
I think
wah.
He was pulled, what, two periods after two, I think he was pulled?
He made it through two? Okay.
I don't remember exactly what the timing was.
I'm gonna guess sometime during the second, because the Wild got two goals in both the first and the second period.
Yeah, so I think it was after the second. He was pulled by the start of the third, and he just looked terrible. I mean, he wasn't the same Mike Smith that we played against.
Not a month earlier in the season.
Yeah, you know,
it wasn't even a month before. It was only a couple of weeks, if I remember
correctly. No, and you know, you're gonna get a lot of that with teams like, when did we play them last? Oh, wait, hold on, like last week.
Especially when you're not playing the other conference. You know?
Yeah, it was February 4th the last time we met up with them.
Yeah, less than a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, February 4th versus February 28th. Yeah.
So yeah, good road win for the Wild.
Yeah, and LaBarbera, he played just the third, so, yeah.
Got it.
Well, and there was a little bit of a tussle in that game that you guys had to point out to me while
we were meeting
up for our business lunch this week.
Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty.
Biz Nasty.
Biz Nasty got cream.
He got ruptured.
He did get ruptured.
Oh, man, nice. I actually had that in my back pocket waiting. Damn it. Brilliant.
You know, and it's funny because he's actually making, he's being pretty lighthearted about it.
Yeah.
You know, posting it on Instagram, changed his Facebook picture to him bleeding. The Phoenix announcers saying that this is the first time they've ever seen Paul Bissonnette bleed.
In the middle of the fight, if you watch the recap of the fight on YouTube or any hockeyfights.com, any of that stuff, you can hear the Phoenix announcers talking about how Biz Nasty has him exactly where he wants him, right in the center of the jersey, so he can give the cheap shots to the chin to keep the guy off guard.
Just little rabbit punches.
And they talk about the fact that Rupp's got the reach. Well, as soon as they say that, Rupp just unloads about four haymakers.
Yeah.
And then wraps up the side of his head to get the whistle right away because he saw that he had actually split and caused blood to draw.
And that was like his third hit.
If you watch the end of the fight, he was really cool about just like tying up right away. And instead of swinging at him, put his arm around and held him to let the refs separate it. Yeah. Gave him a quick headlock to go, okay, no, we're done.
Yeah,
no, he's bleeding, very, we're done. Very gentlemanly on both.
They both dropped. It was
a very quick, very straight ahead fight.
Very early in the game, too.
Yeah.
I think it was after the Wild's first goal, you know, and business, he was doing what he's meant to do, just try to encourage his team a little bit, and he ended up, you know, getting
why I was wondering, since it happened so early, I was wondering if anything happened in the previous game.
I don't think so.
Doesn't really look like it. I mean, the Wild lost 2-1. There was some physicalness going on insofar as blocked shots, some pucks to the face and things of that nature.
We didn't have Rupp at that point, did we?
No, we didn't, yeah. However, this game there was a ton of penalties. I mean, it was just a ticky tacky. They're calling everything game. You know, you had the fighting majors. Obviously, you had unsportsmanlike conduct for Parisi. You had three trippings. You know, it was a smorgasbord of penalties, but nothing big other than that one fight. You know.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is, even though it was in regular, like, nothing chippy play-wise, but straight-ahead play, there were a couple of the Coyotes that had to leave the ice on the game on February 4th due to, like I said, a puck to the face while blocking a shot and things of that nature while just trying to make sure, as defensemen or whatnot, to keep the play where they wanted it. They took a random hit that wasn't even, it wasn't a check, it wasn't a cheap hit, it was just a bad situation to be in. That's the only reason I can think of for Phoenix to be a little upset. And I missed that first part of that game of Phoenix versus the Wild on this one. So I did try and look back to see if there was something that caused it previously, and I can't find it.
No, I'm thinking it was just Bissonnette, you know, trying to encourage his team a little bit more.
Right. I mean,
rally around the Emperor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, really, Smith was looking like he was on his heels the whole time. And even though the Wild were only up 1 point at that point, you know.
Well, you know, and Rupp's coming from the Eastern Conference. So Bissonnette probably wouldn't have seen him very much in the previous season.
And Rupp's not a true enforcer either.
No, he's not. So,
but he's got the reach.
He does.
Yeah, he made Bissonnette bleed. All right, Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
Yep. The following night on Friday, the 1st of March, we face the Ducks. Second in the league right now.
Yeah.
and we were away. That did not go so well.
No.
No. You know, the Wild were looking better come third period.
Right. Third period, actually, if we went third period on, they actually looked really good. But our old nemesis, Timo Solani, again scores another goal. I think he had a pair in the first game.
The first game he had a pair.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Getzlaff gets a goal. And then
go-go gadget Getzlaff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the first two periods, they were not looking like a very decent team.
They were fighting from behind in the third and came back well and rallied for a bit. But
oh, absolutely.
They couldn't get Brodziak, the tying goal or get ahead.
Brodziak got a goal not even 30 seconds into the third period.
Yeah, but when you are walking into the third period, three goals down, that's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, Setoguchi got another goal, his fourth of the season, with assist by Rupp and Suter. I mean, yeah, they looked, I mean, if they played the first two periods like they played the third period, it would have been a blowout.
And they would, and they actually had a significant chance in the third because at the end of it, they had a power play as well.
Right.
That it looked, and they were really solid on it, but, you know, nothing was sinking. And it's just one of those things, I mean. Even though Chicago's kind of bucking the trend, it's very tough to go unbeaten in the season.
You know? Hiller was on top of his game all night, too.
Oh, he was, definitely.
He had some amazing saves against the Wild. Yeah. They definitely had some really good...
All right, welcome back. It looks like we're recording right now again. We had some technical difficulties here in the studio. And
there we go.
Yeah, it did involve a beer bottle. Thank you for putting up with that. If you may have missed some of our coverage of the Anaheim game, but something tells me you don't think of that as that much of a loss.
Oilers.
Oilers. Getting on to the Oilers, where we did expect to see some repercussions from the previous game.
Other than the fact that dude was out.
Taylor Hall,
thank you.
Yeah, instead of being called to task for the sloppy hit, apparently the Wild decided not to call anybody else out on the team to stand to call for it. So, you know, not a big deal.
Taylor Hall had a hammy problem,
and some of that might have been a little bit of fear of who he'd have to face for the questionable hit on Clutterbuck.
Yeah.
I think he'd get ruptured.
Knop good.
Yeah. Overall on that game, let's see. It looks like penalty-wise, Nick Schultz playing for Edmonton had a two-minute boarding. Matt Cullen had a two-minute tripping.
Yeah, the Nick Schultz one, though, I mean, I don't know if any of you saw that, but it was kind of, I don't remember who it was boarding on, but dude was going after the puck and just kind of turned at the last second to get his numbers, hence the boarding. I mean, Nick Schultz isn't really a dirty player.
No, he's normally a clean player, and though he's on our enemy's team right now. Insofar
I know. I was watching this game, and when they called the penalty on Schultz, I was like, oh, man, come on! And I was like, oh, wait, he's on the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It totally threw me off.
We got Gilbert now.
Yeah.
Koivu had a hell of a night, though.
Well, the surprising one for me, insofar as just the penalty summary, Minnesota had one penalty, and that was Cullen's tripping. No penalties in the first period, so nice, clean first period. Cullen's penalty was at the halfway mark of the game in the second. There were two Minnesota power plays. One of them, we already discussed, Nick Schultz. Neil Yukupov had to serve for too many men on the ice.
Oh, yeah, that
one was
very good.
Yeah, that's a bad penalty.
That's always a penalty that you just look at and go, really? Somebody is not paying attention at all.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only reason they took that one. The other one, Jeff Petrie, interference on goalkeeper in the third.
Yeah, you know.
But overall, a fairly clean game, if you think of it that way.
It was. Koivu had a really big game.
Giant game.
Goal, two assists. You know, his the second period was insane. The Wild, I think, outshot them like 18-0.
Yeah, they had zero shots on goal in the, and I think going into the third, they had Oilers had a total of 7 shots.
Until the third period, they had 7 shots. Overall, they only had 21 shots on goal, with the Wild having 43.
Yeah, they tripled their shots on goal in the third period.
Yeah, and the Wild still had more than double their shots for the whole game.
I think I remember reading a tidbit that was their third highest shots on goal in franchise history.
Yeah,
something like that.
And had they not allowed 14 shots on goal in the third, there was the possibility of keeping them to a franchise low
on shots on goal. Yeah, yeah.
Koivu, though, 9 seconds into the third period, and then he got 2 assists later in the third period, one for Charlie Coyle, who had just kind of a fluke backhand shot. I mean, he was just trying to put the puck on the net, and it happened to go right through.
And honestly, after through the first 2 periods, even though it was still tied, it didn't feel like it was a tie game. It felt like the Wild were dominating that game.
Absolutely.
You know, looking at the box scores and looking at the stats, it definitely looks like the Wild were dominating that game. The bit of the game I got to see, it looked like they were dominating that game.
I mean, they were spending their whole time in Edmonton's defensive zone, and, you know, when you do that, you're going to win games.
Something that should be brought up as well. Jared Spurgeon scored the first goal of the game. Yeah. One of our defensemen getting a first goal,
and that was
even men on the ice, an assist from Setoguchi and Cullen on that.
And that was a lucky one, because there was a whole lot of traffic and it threaded right through, and it was a slap shot from the blue line. And
our blue liner's
doing what they should have been doing.
Yeah, Dubnyk was not looking very good for the Oilers that night, though. I mean, he was letting in goals that should not have been going in. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
we can't really complain.
But he also,
right now,
he also got, let's be honest, he also got lucky in some of those, because there was this, I mean, honestly, the score could have been much higher for the Wild.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think they got lucky. Edmonton did, in it not being as much of a route as it felt like watching it.
You know, 4 goals on 43 shots on goal is still not a horrible number.
Right.
All right. Are we ready to discuss the travesty of Tuesday, of yesterday?
Yeah, you know.
We are recording March 6th. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Dad. sorry. Had to do it. Let's see. Tuesday, Blackhawks. Where to start?
Wild gave them their first loss, shootout loss. And we were really hoping that they were going to give them their first
regulation loss.
Did not happen.
No. It started playing out much like the first meeting, where our starting goalkeeper gave up a ton of goals.
And we had to fight back from a huge deficit.
Yes. The first game we got lucky, we got a point out of it. But this game, it didn't work out so well.
We got 2 points out of it last time.
True. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And Brian Bickle. Who the hell is Brian Bickle to get 2 goals on Backstrom? I mean, we were watching the game last night, and the goals that went in, you know, they were good goals. They were good goal-scoring goals.
But if you had told someone the first 3 goals are going to be by Saad, Bickle, and Bickle,
yeah,
you wouldn't expect it.
And the thing that we have to remember here is, right now, as much as I hate to say it, the Blackhawks have that much depth.
They do.
They're relentless.
They still have not lost a game in regulation. They've gotten a point in all of their meetings, and they are one of the teams that has played a full 23 games so far.
Yeah.
They are dominating the league right now due to their depth, and they got in 4 goals in the first period. Backstrom got pulled. The Wild got in 1 answer in the middle of that. Actually, before Chicago had scored a single goal, the Wild had put 1 up.
Yeah, Wild started, and we're like, oh, man, this might be a good game. We might actually do it. And then 4 unanswered goals.
And then in the third period, it got a little better.
Yeah.
Nothing of import really happened in the second. No penalties, no goals, no fun.
Well, the Wild brought it within 1, but, you know.
Well, Suter's goal is a power play goal.
Yeah.
That was and early into the third.
And his first goal in the season, too.
Yes, it was.
And very shortly after that, Brodziak, well, actually, it was 6 minutes after that, Brodziak put one in.
And again, Koivu had another assist on that.
Koivu had the assist on the Suter goal.
Yes.
Brodziak's was Mitchell and Rupp with the assists. And almost exactly 1 minute later, Kane put one in to keep their two-goal lead alive.
It was, like, quick. It was like you get that moment of, like, we got a chance. We've got a chance, and
so you're saying we have a chance, and bloody hell,
yeah.
And yep, it was a fun game to watch, an exciting game.
Yeah, it was, but
unnerving.
Even though the first period didn't end up very well, it didn't feel like the Wild were really out of it.
Yeah,
until really late, until that last goal by the Chicago. At that point,
that was kind of the knife in the.
The boys were playing well enough that you always felt like they had a chance. And then they were delivering on it in the third period, and then Chicago's top line started to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when, you know, you got Kane and Hossa. Well, Kane in the third. But, yeah, the Wild definitely looked like they were on their heels a little bit more in the third period.
Yeah.
But that's when they were actually doing well, which is the tragedy of it. All right, and yet, like you said, Clutterbuck's finally back skating, practicing today. What all do we have coming up this week? Between the next week? Looks
Beavers.
Like we've got... No. We're still in Wild there. We don't need that roller yet. Coming up this week, we got the Predators first. Face Nashville Predators on Saturday night, followed by
the
Canucks.
Third time that we've faced Nashville now?
Yes.
Sounds right to me. Let's see, the Canucks on Sunday.
Well, this will be the first time they play the Predators at home, though.
Yeah, we are playing the Predators
in
Nashville.
It'll be their Suter's return in Nashville, his first game in Nashville.
Yeah, and then we got the Canucks at the Excel Center here, followed by the Ducks at the Excel Center here. So we might have a chance to give some payback to the Ducks.
I'm hoping we can give some payback to the Ducks.
I'm hoping we get payback on all three of these teams.
Well, you know, Vancouver, we just hate Vancouver anyways.
We've got one more year of hating them as purely as we do.
We don't have a year. We have
a couple months, half of a season.
Yeah,
so
we've got half of an asterisk season to continue to hate the Canucks as much as we do.
Yeah, can you guys believe that we're already halfway through the season? Is that not insane?
This is where we need bird chirps.
Crickets.
Crickets. Yeah. Anything of that. We really need to reload our soundboard with a few different cues.
So,
regardless, does anybody have any prognostication they want to make on it or no?
What are we doing here? Okay.
We're Canucks here, or are they on the road?
The only away game is the Predators on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Yep. All games are 7 p.m., and the Canucks and the Ducks are at home here at the X.
My thoughts are Nashville may end up taking them. In Nashville, but I think Anaheim is going to be time for some payback at the X, and Vancouver, you know, down with Vancouver, especially home.
I'm going Wild win 2. I'm thinking they're going to lose against the Ducks, though.
All right.
I'm going to say they take the Predators on their home ice. They go into overtime with the Canucks, and then they lose to the Ducks at home. As much as I don't want to say it, and I don't want it to be true, that's what I honestly believe is going to happen.
So we're fairly split on that, I would say. I don't, you know.
Yep, and then we got another divisional rival on the following Thursday that we'll be able to talk, prognosticate on next week, and that's doing a home and away with the Avalanche to lead off for the following
week. That'll be a good series.
Regardless, that'll be a fun one to watch. This whole week will be good hockey for the Wild. Let's see. Now we're going to go into Gophers. The Minnesota Golden Gophers. All right, U of M. Let's see. We are looking at the final weekend of regulation play. But first, we should get back to the Denver games that they had this last weekend.
Split the series, lost the first game 2-0, came back pretty strong the second game on Saturday, winning 5-1, which they were pretty relentless in the third period.
Oh, my God.
Game.
I'm sorry, are we still talking the Friday game, or are we talking the Saturday game?
Just in general. Okay. The Saturday game, they were pretty relentless.
Well, the Saturday game, I want to say they were walking into the second period with nothing on the board, or down a goal.
I want to say
it was 1-0 going into the second period, and then they just blew up.
Yeah, it was like within the span of a few minutes, it was like goal, 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 goal. It was nonstop. And I know Warning had a goal. Hall, I believe, had a goal as well.
They went into the third, tied 1-1.
Yeah.
In the third period, boosted Hall, Warning, and Budish.
Yeah.
Oh, third period. Sorry about that. Yeah. I was off by a period there.
No, but it was close, and then all of a sudden, scores.
Remember, I work at a bar, up at the screen and catch as much plays as I can while I'm trying to get you drunk.
Most of this happened within the last, I mean, the Boosted goal is the first one in the third period, and that came at 9:52, so just before the halfway of the third period. And then after that, it was, you know, 12 and a half, 13 and three quarters, and then almost 19 minutes. It was pretty much back to back to back. Although the Budish goal, I believe, was empty net.
So I'm going to throw this out. Since the NHL season started, what, I don't know if you guys have looked at it, what do you think the Gophers record is since the NHL season has started?
It's actually not been as good, if I remember correctly. They've done a lot more splits and a lot more ties since the NHL season started.
They had that huge streak where they're unbeaten.
Yeah, and then they kind of did a lot of splits. I want to say that they actually have gotten closer to a 50-50.
They've played 10 games, so
10 games since the NHL started. I'm going to go with a 6-4 record.
Actually, that sounds about right from what I'm thinking.
Pretty close. 4-4-2.
Wow.
4-4-2. All right.
Yep.
So 500 hockey.
500 hockey. Not good.
My initial argument of 50% was actually pretty accurate.
So how they're holding on to number two, I'm not quite certain.
But they still are.
Some polls are also looking at them as 10th, 11th.
No. That was Denver.
Oh, sorry. I misread that. Okay. That's entirely my fault. I'll blame the fact that we're drinking Northeast.
Hey. Pollocks.
Big Pollocks.
Big Pollocks.
Ah, what are you going to do?
So, yeah, no, Denver was back and forth between 10 and 11. Gophers are still sitting at number two. I'm really kind of shocked, especially getting shut out against Denver on Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that...
But then they also destroyed them the next night. So it's
and
like,
their stats are high enough that it keeps pushing them up to number two, as well as the fact that the teams they're beating usually are the much harder teams to beat when you're looking at them statistically. They're losing to teams that are weaker statistically.
And they're not getting swept. They have not gotten swept at all.
And it's one of the weird things of the collegiate system and how the whole national thing comes out. I mean, the WCHA Frozen Four will be a lot more fun, in my opinion, than the national.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some very good rivalries going on in the WCHA.
Kenny, did you want to discuss the upcoming games for the Gophers?
Oh, yes.
Because, let's face it, I gotta say it right away. The Gophers are playing Kenny's Beavers.
He blew his load, man.
Oh, dude.
And it'll be the last WCHA games, regular season games for the Gophers.
Yep. Last regular season games for the Gophers, yes.
Going into the Big Ten Network next year.
Yeah.
Big Ten
Network.
Big Ten Conference.
Yes.
You know, Bemidji, their men's team is not looking very good, though.
No, they...
5-14-7.
Although...
It's a men's team named the Beavers.
The great part, though, is that Tom Ceratori, for the Gophers, will be playing his uncle, the coach of the Beavers, Tom Ceratori.
Awesome.
Nice.
My money's on Ceratori's team wins.
I agree.
Those games are in Bemidji this week. They are because we have the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament.
So our Red Lake buddies better be out there in mass cheering for the Beavers.
Hostile.
Hostile.
Yeah.
Res Dog, MC Edge, you better all be out there.
And you better actually
you better
wear
pray
Gophers
for your
colors.
Beavers.
Yeah. Pray for your Beavers, kids.
Pray for your Beavers.
Nice. One of my favorite sound bites of the season so far. All right, are we ready to start talking about the Minnesota Men's State Hockey Tournament for the high school?
Sure, go for it.
I was waiting.
See what I did there?
There we go. I was waiting for that.
I said go for it.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Oh, that's so cute. Because, yeah, the women's tournament has finished up. Let's see. In the section 1A, Blake won against War Road in the final for 7-2. As far as the women, this is like a week, 2 weeks ago, whatever. In the Class AA, Minnetonka actually ended up powerhousing over Hill Murray after doing, what was it, six periods of hockey for the semifinal? No, six overtimes. So they had done nine periods of hockey the night before, had to get up the next morning, and then still beat the snot out of Hill Murray, which they did 3-1 for the ladies. So the Skippers definitely won that for the ladies. Insofar as the men's tournament this weekend, starting actually today, is first round of play, if I mentioning.
Between at the X and Mariucci, I believe.
Yeah, St. Thomas Academy cadets are getting ready to defend. They're sitting in the number one seed currently, and they're looking at St. Cloud Apollo. And the St. Cloud Apollo is making their first state appearance in three decades.
There was actually quite a few teams making their first appearance in...
Yeah,
you know.
a lot of interesting surprises and a lot of people showing up for the first time to the state tourney that haven't been there or haven't been there in so long that...
Wait, you said Hill Murray versus who?
No, St. Thomas... Are you talking when I was talking about the women's tournament?
No, right now.
St. Thomas Academy... Cadets are the number one seed for the single-A bracket.
Oh, single-A. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm on double-A.
Gotcha. Okay, against St. Cloud Apollo. Right. And then we're looking at Breck, Mustangs. They're in their fifth consecutive state tournament.
What? I mean, I'm a total noob on this. What is the classification difference between double-A and single-A?
I think it was the amount of students that attend the school.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Minnesota went open enrollment, which has made me not be as adamant about some of the rivalries.
I think AA still has a bigger pool of potential athletes. So, you know.
It just seems ridiculous because, I mean, some of these, the single A teams, like Breck, I mean, that's considered. Well,
St. Thomas Academy is a private school as well.
But these are hockey schools, you know? It's a hockey school.
Once again, one of the things that defeated me on it, obviously when they split the state tournament to single A and double A.
Right, because you don't have one state champion.
Yeah, it really kind of hurt. And now that the state's gone open enrollment, it's not quite as fun for me.
Hermantown,
Duluth Marshall, and Duluth East. And Duluth East is sitting in the double A.
Yeah, Duluth East being the big school.
Literally, Hermantown it's like a first tier suburb of Duluth.
Right.
I mean, it's not that far out.
Yeah.
You know, and you got them and Duluth Marshall.
Well, we're looking at Breck versus Marshall, then Hermantown versus Duluth Marshall.
Breck beat Marshall.
Oh, okay. That game finished finally?
Yep.
Lovely.
And then
so
Hermantown,
moving on.
Hermantown beat Duluth Marshall.
Wow.
So it'll be Hermantown versus Breck.
And then there's also East Grand Forks versus Rochester Lords for the fourth and fifth seed matchups that are coming into the first round on the single A.
It's like they're trying to make it like a Division One, Division Two in college, but it's high school level. And
more or less.
But it really...
I mean, that's something that happened prior. That happened long enough ago that really I didn't know that the state went open enrollment on the high schools.
It just hits
does shift the picture quite a bit.
You know, you still, being the state of hockey, it's kind of sad to see that you only have two classifications for hockey, for high school boys hockey. Because I know basketball, I think they're up to like 6A right now. I mean, it's insane.
Really, really, really what it should be is it should be like relegation in, was it Premier League or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, where you have certain teams that if they get to the championship so many times.
They get moved up a bracket.
They get moved up to bracket.
Well, that's what happened. My high school basketball team, they ended up taking state so many times that they ended up getting moved to a different bracket.
And that makes sense. That makes sense.
Oh, and I got one stupid, not stupid, one cool middle school thing to bring up. The North Metro Pirates are moving on to the state tournament after having to play a rematch to get the 8th seed.
Really? To get
against
the
team that had crushed them. And they lost their early game in the day last weekend, and then their late game they ended up winning, so they've moved on to play in the middle school
championship.
That's
kind of surprising, because the game that I saw them play, they kind of crushed Eden Prairie.
Yeah, they're a great team. And if you want to see some good middle school hockey, that would be one to go check out this coming weekend as well. But that is not at the X, and I can't remember the location on it. But congrats to them. Getting back to the AA bracket in the men's high school tournament, Hill Murray is sitting in number one. Let's see, how many years in a row is this?
Too many. And
exactly.
I believe that those games start tomorrow, the AA.
Yep.
And
11 a.m.
Eastview. Squeaking into the number 8 seed.
Defeating Egan, the powerhouse.
Knocking Egan out of the last spot of the AA playoffs at the last minute, really. Like, taking it right up to the end to make sure that Egan did not have a chance of entering the tournament this year. Duluth East is sitting in the number 2 seed. They're Duluth East. They do exactly what they do.
4-0.
Yeah. And how many years in a row is this? Anybody have any idea?
5th.
Okay, just their 5th. I thought they had been in a much more tenured.
No, Moorhead has been in 13 years.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was confusing. They are playing Moorhead, the number 7 seed.
Moorhead being Matt Cullen's alma mater.
All right. Yes. Hey, cheers to Cullen's
alma
mater.
Which happens to be who Duluth East is playing.
Yep.
And I believe Cullen's cousin is coaching the Moorhead team, if I remember correctly.
All right. Edina still made it in. The Hornets are
Pete
sitting
Cullen.
In. The Hornets are sitting in the number 3 seed, 22-6.
Boo.
So the number 1 ranking
Boo.
Earlier in the season.
Every day I need
at
attention.
The number 3. All right. Yes, yes, yes. And they're going to be stuck facing Lakeville North. No stranger to the tournament as well.
Go Lakeville.
They've never played in the state tournament against each other.
Lakeville's record is 11-16-1.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing.
Yep.
And they made the tournament.
And on that note, let's
at the number 6 seed.
At the number 6 seed in.
But
the
Moorhead was 14-11-2. I don't know. Whatever.
It's because of the sections.
Yeah, it is.
Because of the sectional breakdowns. You don't refer to it as which school district. You refer to it as which section.
Right. What was your region?
Yeah.
Go Lakeville.
Wyzetta sitting in the number 4 seed, 21-7 in the 4th seed. So, yeah, still doing fairly well there.
All right, besides Edina, does anybody have any teams that they want to see get beat?
We didn't announce who Wyzetta is playing yet in the 5 seed of Centennial.
Centennial.
So they're back to the state tournament for the first time since 2004. And, yeah.
22-4-2.
Okay, so we want to.
They've got a better record than Wyzetta.
Are we going to place our AA predictions here? Who's going to win?
You know, Hill Murray. You know, they've been a powerhouse for a while.
I'm going Duluth East.
I like Duluth East.
Jive, you got a pick out of here?
I think I'm going to go with Moorhead, though.
You got nothing,
Jive. You got nothing here. Oh, God, you know, I really want to go with Moorhead just because they're the Spuds. But
I'm going to go with Moorhead. I'm taking Moorhead.
And you went with Duluth East, is that right, Aaron? Aaron, you went with Duluth
Wait,
East.
Is Moorhead up by the Bemidji Beavers?
Screw it. I'm going with the Edina Hornets. The Meat Beast goes with the Edina Hornets. I'm going to say they're going to come back and take
attention.
It. Yeah.
So we got,
but
we,
they got a great team.
We got Duluth East. We got Edina. We got Moorhead. So that's our pick.
It's our producer writing this down so that we can make sure to plug it into the computer later and do the statistical analysis.
What about single A?
Nope. I was listening to the episode last week, and every time he played that sample, I thought it was Kenny saying, nope.
In the single A, I'm going to go with East Grand Forks. I think East Grand Forks is going to take it in the single A.
I'm going Hermantown.
Hermantown, yeah, I'm going to go with, you know what? I think St. Thomas Academy is going to get it again.
Jerome? Anything from the Peanut Gallery? No? Okay.
Nope.
All right. Lovely. Lovely. Okay. Somebody's logging all this info down, right?
I'm doing it right now.
Brilliant. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
I like Moorhead and the Beavers.
We know that. We know that. Obviously, your hangover is wearing off, Kenny.
No, it's not.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
I think we're good, Josh.
All right. Do we want to pick who the player of the week for Minnesota has been?
Yes. I think we're there. Yep. I will go last since I am the winner.
The reigning champion.
So who's going to go first?
I don't
care. Rock, scissors, paper?
Nope. Jerome, you're first.
Yeah, good call.
Last week's poll? What?
Yeah.
We did that at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Were you paying Aaron attention? Won.
Yeah, Aaron won. Only one person voted, and it was Aaron. So Aaron won.
I got nothing.
All right, so Jive's going with Nil.
Okay, so we got another three vote. Okay.
Josh?
No, Kenny, I insist. You go ahead and go first.
I'm going to go with Mikko Koivu.
Wow, there's a shocker.
That would have been my pick, but I will let you have that pick.
Just, you know, the Edmonton game with a goal, two assists. He's got a few other helpers in there this week. It looks like he's finally breaking out, leading the team the way a captain should. So I'm going with Mikko Koivu.
All right. I'm going to go with Rupp. Just for rupture in the face of Biz Nasty.
Nice.
And
call.
Making sure to rally the team in that game and finally get a little payback on the Coyotes since they've been feeling like they owned us for a while.
And I'm going to go with Ryan Suter. He had a goal, obviously, as well as three helpers. So I'm going to go with Ryan Suter.
Nice. You know, I think all three good choices.
Yeah. To be fair, I almost went with Spurgeon, and I almost threw that over to Jerome. We could probably throw Spurgeon in on Jerome.
Coyle didn't have a bad week either.
No, Coyle didn't either. Jerome said Nil, so
we'll give him Konopka.
No,
and playing in losses.
Let's give him one of the high school teams. Like the whole
Moorhead.
High school team. Yeah, let's give him Moorhead.
Let's give Jive Moorhead.
Nope.
Nope.
Folks,
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Well, I can imagine.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been another episode of Three in the Box. Everybody want to say goodnight and tell people where they can find you?
Yes, Aaron, you can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check my band at pinrot.com.
Yep, pin rot for me as well as RottenK999 on Twitter.
Hey, you can follow me, Jive, at Jive Midnight on Twitter.com. And, you know, I'm also hanging out with these pin rot dudes, so check me out there.
All right, and this is the Meat Beast. Thank you very much for listening to Three in the Box. We will have our first episode of the super obnoxious Puckin' Drunk, which will have some guest appearances by many, many, many people to comment on the full state of the NHL later this week, actually.
A very special episode of Three in the Box.
A very special episode produced by Three in the Box.
Yes.
It is not Three in the Box endorsed. It's just produced by. And, yeah, you can follow me at cyanetradio.com. I am on the Clubhouse show over there, obviously here at Puck and Drunk with all these kids. And, yeah. Have a good day. Thank you very much for listening.
Holla!